Good morning. It was good to finally meet Henry, Greek teacher, and has been actively involved in an organization that I have for most of my life, Wycliffe Bible Translators. Thank you so much for coming and reading our scripture this morning. We continue today a series of sermons that we've been going through in the book of 1 Peter. And we're up to verse 17 of chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles open, we'll be looking at that. In verse 17, there's a command, and I always like to pay close attention to commands. And the command is, live your lives as strangers here. Now, Peter also uses this word strangers in the first verse of his letter. He addresses the letter to God's elect strangers in the world. Now, if you're traveling to a new country, you can get a lot of good information from a website called LonelyPlanet.com. You probably have looked at that. But if you're one of God's elect and a stranger in the world, how do you get help? You need to read 1 Peter, I think. It seems to me like it's a Christian's guide to planet Earth. The term stranger describes foreigners without national rights, as the Jews were when they were in Egypt for 400 years. Strangers. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the book of Acts tells us there were strangers in Jerusalem from Rome. Almost all of these words, strangers, is used in quotations from the Old Testament or allusions to the Old Testament. A stranger is someone staying for a while in a strange place. We get a very clear idea of what he's talking about when we look at Hebrews chapter 11. We call that about the heroes of faith. Talks about Abraham there in Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city without foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And we jump down to verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. The people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they left, they would have opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We have lots of visitors here, strangers. A lot of people are strange, and some of them are even stranger. Peter says we're different. And we've got lots to learn. We need some good tips along the way. I was talking with one of our friends from Swiss Tropical Institute and from Africa, and he was totally frustrated. He went to catch the train, and he said, "I was only 2 minutes late." He learned something about Switzerland. Now, the fact that strangeness, it produces tension between the natives and the foreigners. The passage in Hebrews mentions strangers and aliens. I don't think he's talking about extraterrestrial here, but the second word there, aliens, is xenos. We get our word xenophobia from that word, fear or hatred of strangers or foreigners. I hope none of our visitors have felt that way. But persecution is a major theme in 1 Peter. It's mentioned 18 times. So, be forewarned. Wouldn't it be better if we just tried to fit in? Just be part of the culture. Just kind of disappear into the woodwork and try not to be so strange. But we are strange. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, he talked about Pilgrim and I think it was Faithful. They went through the Vanity Fair. We have Vanity Fair, by the way, going on right now, just around from our house there. And the people looked at them. Their clothes were different. They had put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And their speech was different. And they were looking for different things. The people said, "Don't you want to buy something?" And Faithful said, "Yes, we want to buy truth." So our question for today is, how do we live our lives as strangers? What does he tell us to do? What are the rules? Well, I'm going to go back and pick up a couple of things from that Jonathan, now Benjamin Clark, mentioned in the verses just before. One thing that he emphasized, he said, we should be full of hope. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 tells us, before we became Christians, we were without hope and without God in the world. But look now at 1 Peter 1:3. Peter says, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." Peter wants us to be reminded, don't lose your hope. Be full of hope. And in verse 13 is the command, by the way, that Benjamin talked about. Set your hope fully on the grace which is to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. I don't know if you can hope a little bit. Some people say, I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope it won't rain, I hope this, I hope that. No, 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 this is all the way hope. Set your hope fully on the grace that's to be given you when Christ Jesus is to be revealed. Don't lose sight of it. It's very important. The Word tells us, eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Live it up. I was surprised. See, Paul quotes that, and he says the same thing. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. If the dead are not raised, eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. But we have hope. Because of what Christ has done, we can set our hope fully on the grace which is going to be revealed when, or given to us when Jesus Christ is revealed. Another word of advice, a command in fact. If you're living here as a stranger, you should be holy. And Benjamin did such a good job when he shared that with us. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, just the two verses right before where I was told to begin. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I used to have a lot of trouble with that word. I thought, you know, you have to have a halo over your head and walk around with your hands folded. What does that mean, to be holy? Well, the word essentially means to be set apart. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. The King James, I think, says, sanctify the Lord, Christ as Lord. Set Him apart and make Him your Lord. Jesus, in His prayer to God just before He died, found in John chapter 17, verses 14 to 19, He said, Father, I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world, any more than I'm of the world. My prayer is not that You take them out of the world, but that You protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As You sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself. Jesus was God's Son. Could He be more holy than He was? No, it means I set myself apart for them, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus set himself apart for us, his disciples, and now he wants us to set ourselves apart for him. Be holy. Why? For I am holy. There's a third command. Now we're up to where I was supposed to start today. It's verse 17. Those who live as strangers here should be aware. Now I'm taking a little liberty to rephrase this. There will be a final exam. I always appreciate it when I've taken a course at university or in theological seminary and the teacher says, you do this and this and we'll study this and there will be a final exam. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. I don't much like it, but it's there. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Please notice some facts in this command. Number one, he is our Father. We sang that song, Children of the Heavenly Father. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jews talked about God being the Father of Israel, but never of this personal relationship that God, that Jesus told us about. Paul tells us, you have received the spirit of sonship, and by him you cry, Abba, Father. Abba is like Papa. I've never seen a translator, Henry, be able to pull that one off real well. But that's what he says. He is like our Father. That's wonderful. He's going to give us our final exam. Aren't you glad? It's not some old mean person or the devil or whoever. No, God the Father is going to give us our final exam. Number two, the second point in this command. He is impartial. Oh, that's our Father. I won't have any problem with that. He is impartial. The word is made up of three parts. Ah, meaning negative. Prosopon is the face. And lambano, to receive or to take. God does not take a person on how he looks or where he was born, or how much he has studied, or whatever. He is impartial, not accepting a person. He's fair. That's wonderful. Aren't you glad? The third point to notice in this command, God will judge each man's, what's it say? Each man's works. When we go to school, we always are judged by what we have in our heads. Did you learn the facts? This is not a test to see how much you learned in your head. No, this is a judgment, a final exam of our works. Each man, everybody. Did you know he's going to judge Abraham and Moses and David and even Peter and us? The Jews, the rabbis, felt that Abraham was such a perfect person. He had grace from God, and his children had, he had excessive grace, and if you were a child of Abraham, you were okay. For some reason, the rabbis seem to forget Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham sold his wife into a harem. And in chapter 16, where he did it a second time, he would not receive a Husband of the Year award. That was like a felony to do that. And when God promised a son by his wife Sarah, he was so impatient, thanks also to Sarah a little bit, of course, he decided, I'm going to help God out. Bad idea. When I think of others, I think of Moses. Moses was, well, God told him to speak to the rock and he hit the rock. And he was judged right there. He couldn't go into the promised land. And who knows what other judgments he'll get. We know about David, how he stole Uriah's wife and then had him killed. And he was a man of blood. God wouldn't let him build the temple for him. And he was not perfect. And Peter's saying, God's going to judge. And I'm sure he's saying, oh, wasn't I stupid when I told those people I didn't know Jesus? I denied him 3 times. Terrible. Now, Peter is not talking about salvation here. I want to make that clear. He's talking about rewards. We are saved by faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. He's not talking about whether we're saved or not. He's talking about rewards. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. No one can lay any foundation other than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold or silver or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be revealed for what it is. It's going to be a test. The day, that's a capital D, the day of judgment will reveal it. Will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire. And the fire would test the quality of each man's work. If what he's built survives, he will receive his reward. But if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Fourth point in this command. We should live our lives as strangers here. The verse says, in reverent fear. The word reverent is not in the Greek text. I think the translator put that in just to make it not quite so harsh. Live your life. Conduct yourselves as aliens in fear. What is there to fear? Well, far as salvation is concerned, we should fear. What if we don't trust Christ? Second Corinthians 5:10, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. This is 2 Corinthians 5. We know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. I think it's helpful. I think it's an encouragement that he gives us this information before and not after we die. There will be a final exam at the end. Your works are going to be tested. I don't know if they're going to bring all the works and test them. Everybody's at the same. Boy, that'd be a real bonfire, wouldn't it? If he tests everybody. Maybe it's one at a time. Now wait a minute. Let me ask you something here. Haven't we been told that God is love, and whoever loves lives in God, and God in him? In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, they're like him. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. That's a paradox, right? And a paradox will not stand. How is it we could have fear in that final day of judgment and be taught there's no fear in love? Well, there are a couple of little phrases in here. It says, we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like Him. Now, if we're like Him, no problem. We're not always like Him. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And sometimes our love is not perfect. So, I don't have a problem with a paradox here. Let me review here now. First command is what? Be, as a stranger here, be full of hope. Second command was? Oh, Paul, you're not going to fail me here. Be holy, for I'm holy. Paul's, he has quoted that verse to me at least 25 times. I need it. Be full of hope. Be holy. Be aware there is going to be a final exam. And here is our last command. Not the last one in 1 Peter, but the last one I'm going to talk about. We should not forget who we belong to. That's important. 1 Peter 1:18, 19. It was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that we were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. a lamb without blemish or defect. Don't forget who you belong to. That's what the word redeemed means. You're bought. You're purchased. The base of the word lutron is to be loosed. You were freed. How? With the blood of Christ. Not with perishable things. With the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last times for your sake. I like that. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So, be full of hope. Be holy. Be aware there's going to be a final judgment. And here, don't forget who you belong to. You were purchased. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. A verse that has been such help to me, especially when I was a teenager. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you receive from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. We can't just do any old thing we want to. We don't belong to ourselves. We were purchased with the blood of Christ. The story of the 39 miners that were trapped in Chile caught the imagination of the whole world. Reporters asked the rescue team, "You must have had a lot of miracles during that rescue." And they said, "Well, we had one big miracle. We found them. And everything else was hard work." What a miracle that He found us. He found me, 11-year-old boy down in the mountains of West Virginia. He found me. I like to sing that little chorus. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. Out in the darkness, no light I could see. Those miners would say, down in the darkness. Oh, what a wonder He put His great arm under. And wonder of wonders, He saved even me. The miners there, some of them may had, you know, it was a mine where they were mining gold and copper. Some of them may have stashed away some gold or some copper or whatever. But do you think that was any help to get them out of that 700? Was it 700 meters down of rock? Didn't help. It was not with silver and gold that we were redeemed, but by the blood of a lamb. And just as their rescue came from above, they didn't do much themselves. Was it 69 days just trying to keep up their courage or whatever? I don't know what all they did down there. Rescue came from above. It was all grace. And that's the way it is with our salvation. Oh, they'd made preparation in that mine to rescue people, but it wasn't sufficient. They had to bring in a lot of extra equipment, and it took extra time. Fact is, they were saying, oh, they won't get them out before Christmas. God had made preparation for our rescue. It says, Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world to be our Redeemer. Before He even created the world, He had our rescue plan already worked out. And it says, but it was revealed in these last days. Can I ask you a personal question? Do you feel trapped? No hope? There is hope. Do you feel burdened? Don't know how I'm going to make it. Jesus says in the last verse there of Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What good news. I'd encourage you, if you're wrestling with some of those heavy problems, please avail yourselves of our pastor or others here. Just say, hey, come, I'd like to pray with you. I've got a burden. I'm weary. Give us a chance to share this great hope that we have in Christ with you. Let's pray. God our Father, what a wonder that you found us. Praise the Savior. You know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. Surely you are worthy of our trust, of our love, and of the hope that we find in you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.